Hi, this is Dave Dufour talking to you before we start this episode of Theater Geeks. On July 1st of 2013, that's a little over a month away, we are going to discontinue using the Google Feedburner service to supply our podcast feed. This is probably not going to affect most of you who subscribe to the podcast, but it may. The new feed is listed and the show notes at the top of the page at theatergeeks.com, so you can get all the information there. Just be prepared. If you see a hiccup in your subscription updates, it may be that the feed needs to be switched manually. For most of you, again, this doesn't matter, but if you are following us like with an RSS feeder such as Google Reader, which Google has recently decided to discontinue, or some other RSS aggregator program, there may be a need to change the actual feed. The new feed is active and you can use it right away, or you can wait till July 1st. But just wanted to let you know, this is a heads up that the feed is going to be changed. We are not going to be using the old Feedburner feed for a variety of reasons, and those are listed at the show notes at theatergeeks.com. Now on with the episode.
This podcast is a part of the Blueberry Network. You can find this and other great podcasts at blueberry.com. That's blueberry with no E's .com.
Theater Geeks is a production of the Dufour Creative Network.
Hi, I'm Dave Dufour.
I'm John Schaub.
And I'm Marcia Fulmer. And we are Theater Geeks.
Hey there, welcome to Theater Geeks, the podcast about community theater and the performing arts. We are gathering together following a big trip to New York City by Marcia, who I don't even want to tell it. You tell it because you tell it so well. Were you in New York?
I babble.
Why were you in New York?
I was in New York for the opening night of a new play called Lucky Guy by Nora Ephron, the late Nora Ephron, who wrote Sleepless in Seattle and You've Got Mail, and starring Mr. Tom Hanks. And there are two women in the cast, and one of them is my daughter, Deirdre Lovejoy.
That is fabulous.
I went for opening night, which was really kind of a zoo, except that at the theater, I like stood very still, and my friend Mike Khalil came up from Florida and went with me. He's an old...
Oh, he was there for opening night.
Oh, yes, he was.
I didn't realize that.
Was.
Cool.
And you just stand in the lobby, and I watched Barbara Walters walk by, and I was right next to Martin Short, and then Sting walked by with his wife. And who else? They were just like all over the place. I didn't know where to look. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you're so used to seeing people on television. When you see them up close, you go, who is that? I know they. And then it's Regis Philbin. You know, what the heck?
Right. Yeah.
So it was great. And then there was a ticket admission only party at the Gotham Center in New York, which was, strangely enough, an old bank that they have converted into an event center.
Right.
And it was really pretty neat. I just sat and I looked at Meg Ryan sitting in the corner talking to somebody, and just Bobby Cannavale and Ellen Barkin and just all kinds of people. And the flash bulbs were going all over the place. So it was really neat. The strange thing was at midnight, they turned on all the lights and kicked everybody out.
Oh, my gosh.
They said, what? I said, what's going on? It's 12 o'clock. Sorry, you all have to leave. It's 12 o'clock. So evidently they rented the place till 12, and that was it. But then they all went to this other place, which is down in Chelsea. And it looks like a coffee shop, a drugstore. And then if you're with the right party, they push a button and the doors like open up and it goes back into what looks like a speakeasy.
Right, oh, cool.
Right.
Yeah, it's neat.
Right.
So that was opening night, and it was very, very special to me. I mean, my gosh, you know.
Right.
I have never been to a Broadway opening night before, especially one to which I was related somewhat.
Right. I think it's interesting that just listening to you talk, that after all the interviews you've done with people for years now, that you're still starstruck.
Oh,
when you,
are you kidding?
When you see these people. Yeah.
The second time, no, it wasn't opening night. It was the Wednesday matinee when Michael and I went, and we got house seats, which means for people who don't know what a house seat is, these are the tickets that they hold back in case the president comes or something, and so they have a seat for him right away. And
like a VIP,
yeah,
emergency,
and the actors
chair.
Can put in 3 days in advance if they would like a ticket, a house seat.
Right.
So Dee Dee had gotten us, Michael and I, and let me say also, you get them, but you have to pay for them. I mean, these are
not
freebies.
Right.
Okay, so Michael and I are sitting there, and we're looking, and all of a sudden he jabbed me in the ribs, which is not like Michael, and he said, look across the aisle, because I was sitting on the aisle, about the fourth or fifth row.
Right.
And I looked across the aisle, and he says, that's Carol Burnett. And I said, no, it's not. And he said, yes, it really is. Look again. Well, do you know how hard it is to be really surreptitious and turn and stare
right,
at somebody?
Right.
But I did determine by the end that it was indeed Carol Burnett.
Right.
And that was my big for the day, you know. But every time I went backstage to get Dee Dee, you walk through just mobs of people who look daggers at you when you go in the stage door, because why should you be able to do that and they can't?
Oh, sure.
Know?
Well.
And then when you come out, there's this anticipation, which immediately goes to terrible disappointment when you realize you're not Tom Hanks, you know? Oh, yeah. Right. But so just standing back there, I stood with Tony Bennett and his wife,
right.
And they were talking about his daughter's getting married this summer. And I said, well, you know, I think that's wonderful. And if it's outside, I hope she has good weather for it. And then John Stamos walked by me, and he must have thought I looked like I belonged there, because he kind of took a step back and put his hand out and said, hi, how are you? And I said, oh, fine. Thank you very much. And he said, good to see you, and walked on. And I thought, what? Good to see me. I've never seen him that close up in my life. But they had for the second week of, or the first week of performances, where they were in that, which every theater group, professional theater group, goes through at this time of year. But usually they run it for 3 weeks. The Equity Fights AIDS. And they have people at the doors with baskets, and you're supposed to kick in whatever you want. However, lucky guy took it a step farther, and they auctioned off stuff from the show.
Oh.
Chris McDonald, who really could be an auctioneer. And so John Stamos had bought this crappy notebook that Tom Hanks carries through the whole show that he writes down his notes in when he's doing interviews.
Right.
John Stamos bid $4,000 for it.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. And, well, and Tom, I mean, says, well, what's in there is scribble, 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 Luoma, which is the black guy that he was interviewing for this Pulitzer Prize winning story.
Yeah.
And but things like that, they just went, and then Tom auctioned off pictures of him with whoever, you know, get your picture. They were at the end of this 3 week period, or 2 weeks is all they had. They total it up, and they give a plaque to whichever show has raised the most money. And it was Lucky Guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, as Dee Dee put on her Facebook page, take that, Book of Mormon. Because, you know, that was
and your $500 tickets too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, but they have them for Lucky Guy too.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. But a normal ticket is like $150.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, because he's only going to be, it's only open till July the 3rd.
Right. And they're not going to replace him
in
the role.
No, because Mamma Mia is coming into that theater as soon as they go
again,
out.
Again, huh?
It's at the Broadhurst theater.
Lucky Guy's at the Broadhurst, which is a theater, and Mamma Mia's at the Winter Garden, which is a huge musical theater. So I don't know what they're going to do with Mamma Mia at the Broadhurst, but I understand that's where it's coming.
Right.
So if you want to see it, you better get to New York quickly and try and get a ticket before the 3rd of July, because that's when it's like all over.
Right. Well, I haven't had a chance to check out Dee Dee's blog for a while, but is she still blogging?
She is still blogging.
What's her
she
blog?
Needs
DeirdreLovejoy.com.
Right. And she has
IRDRE.
Yes.
Lovejoy.com.
Thank you. Thank you. She's done about five or six of them now. She does that
periodically. She's a very good writer for this.
She is a good writer.
She's very clever.
By the way,
we should also, just while we're doing it, because she keeps bringing it up once, she brings it up every once in a while, follow her on Facebook.
Oh, yes.
She's Deirdre Lovejoy on Facebook. And what's cool about that is that you get to see all the goofy pictures that she takes during rehearsals and before the
picture that she got with Carol Burnett with Tom Hanks making a
face. That's my favorite
right
one. That was the one I was going to bring up.
There's she like, said, Tom, you ruined my picture with Carol Burnett.
No, I don't think so.
She was kidding, but you know, yeah, no, it's that's unique.
Being photobombed by Tom Hanks with Carol Burnett with you was pretty funny.
Yeah.
He likes to do that anyway.
Yeah, he does.
He must be such,
I have to say, you know, a lot of stars have different personas, and you know, a lot of times it's their PR people that set it up, but Tom Hanks is a really nice guy.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what else. It's not like we got to be great friends, but he always said hello. He always knew who I was, you know, and he just when we had friends that came in from New Jersey, and she has the ones I visit every summer, she had a problem getting around. And so Dee Dee went up to his dressing room and said, you know, my aunt and uncle are here from Jersey. Would you come down? And just like that, he was right down there saying, mm-hmm. Well, when I met him the first time, Dee Dee dragged me over. This was at the party. And we had she said, I want you to take a picture with you and Tom. And I said, yeah, fine, great. So he shook my hand and he said, so you are responsible for all this love and joy. And I said, well, I wish I could take credit for the whole thing, but I really can't. But he's just really, really nice. And his wife was Rita Wilson was lovely, mm-hmm. just pretty. Pretty lady. You know, so it was every night there were other people there. Well, if you follow on her Facebook page, you can see, you know, Bruce Springsteen. That blew me away. And brought his mother, who was 88.
Wow.
And I thought that was very good. So I said, did you tell him that your mother is from New Jersey and she went to Asbury Park every summer? She said, gee, Mom, I think I missed that. I said, I don't understand that, but that's all right.
Tell us a little bit about the play itself.
It's not a play I don't think that's going to travel because it's about New York mm-hmm. and about the day of the tabloid paper. Now there's only one left. The Daily News or the Post, either
New York
one.
Post, if you can
but,
say that, yeah.
you know, they say at the opening of the play, Michael says, they hold up the New York Times and they say, this is the New York Times. This is a newspaper. And they all kind of stand at attention. And then somebody grabs, and this is a New York Post and this is a tabloid. And then they all start, you know, going. But it's the story of Mike McAlary, who was a reporter. He kept going back and forth between the Post and the News wherever he could get a better deal. And his big rival was Jimmy Breslin.
Right.
Who had won the Pulitzer Prize. And so as the thing progresses, he gets really, really drunk one night and has a terrible accident, winds up in the hospital. And after that, he has an interview with this African-American gentleman who was sodomized by the New York City police mm-hmm. after he was arrested for something that he didn't do. And McAlary wrote all about that and got his Pulitzer, which he found out like 3 months, I think, before he died of cancer.
Yeah.
So it's just about him, and Tom Hanks plays him. And he's, you know, there are a lot of movie stars who, when they get on the stage, they're stiff or they're, you know, he's not. The minute he walks on that stage, he has that audience right there.
Yeah.
I mean, he's easy. He knows what he's doing, and he's so good in this, so good. And they get to John knows I cry at card tricks, and the ending of this is like I'm sitting there, and I saw it five times when I was in New York. Mm-hmm. I'm still paying it off, but I cried every night. It's just such a moving ending, and it was really good. So I saw that five times, and then Michael and I managed to squeeze in a bunch of other shows. We saw Matilda, which is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
If you've seen the movie, you know what it is, but Bertie Carville, I think his name is. He's from England. Right. He plays Miss Trunchbull.
Oh.
He's a riot. And these little girls, the girl that played it the day we saw it, which was, it was still in previews, was 9 years old.
Mm-hmm.
The girl who played Matilda. There are four of them that play Matilda.
Gotcha.
You know, and I'm sure whichever one you see is just amazing. And the set, I have to show, the set design is all made out of hanging Scrabble tiles.
Oh.
And if you see them, if you look at them, when you look, you go, oh, my God, that makes a word. If I go this way or I'm going down diagonally, it makes a word. You know, so you sit there and pick words out of the set. But it's just an amazing set.
Wow.
And we saw that. We saw Nice Work If You Can Get It with Matthew Broderick. The problem with that is it's all Gershwin music, just like Crazy for You.
Right.
So you hear these songs and you go, oh, hey, that was in Crazy for You. But, you know, it really was, it's just that it was Gershwin. And I'm not a big Matthew Broderick fan, but he did a lovely job in that. It was good. Okay, and we saw Anne, which Dee Dee's friend Holland Taylor wrote it, and she is in it. It's a one-man show, one-woman show, about Ann Richards, the governor, who was the governor of Texas.
Okay.
And it's brilliant. It really is brilliant.
Now, was she nominated?
Yes.
I thought she had been nominated.
She's wonderful.
Well, yeah.
Okay, what else did we see? We saw
Pippin,
which if you go to New York, go see Pippin, because you won't believe what you're seeing. It's amazing. It's like the regular Stephen Schwartz play, musical of Pippin. And it's set in this, it's not Cirque du Soleil, but it's like that. It's a Canadian company.
Mm-hmm.
And they do, it's magic tricks and gymnastics. And you just can't believe what you're seeing. It's wonderful.
Yeah.
And I love Pippin anyway. So that's why
we've done Pippin
at
our theater, but probably not like that.
No, I don't think so.
Nor will we ever be able to.
I don't know if it'll travel like that.
Yeah.
Then I went to see Tally's Folly, which, because it had one of my favorite actors in it, Danny Bernstein, and who also was in Follies, and he was in. He's just a wonderful actor.
Now, Tally's Folly.
It's old.
We've done it. It's old, and it's very talky. So how do they, I mean, you know, is it just good?
The way they, well, actually, it's the guy that does most of the talking.
Right.
Sarah Paulson was the girl, and she was wonderful, but she didn't say much. But, you know, if you're good, you don't have to say much. Danny was amazing.
Hmm.
Just amazing. You never got bored of listening to him talk.
Mm-hmm.
He just, you can either connect with an audience, and if you do, you get him right there. You know, and if you get them, then you just don't lose them, because it was wonderful. And you're right, it is. It's talky.
Well, it's just two people, and it's a lot of conversation.
Yep.
It's
yep.
a big
it's a
conversation. Great story.
It
I mean,
is.
If you, like
it
you
is.
Said, if you can rope them in at the very beginning.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I know.
Then, you know, they'll be with you for the whole
well,
ride.
Well, and I will tell you, I will go against the critics for this, talking about talking and roping people in. We went to one of the final previews of a thing called I Can Eat You Last.
Okay.
Oh, that's about...
It's Bette Midler doing Sue Mangers, the agent who died.
Okay, right, yeah.
It's an hour and a half of Bette Midler sitting on a sofa in a caftan. She never gets up. She never walks around. She just sits and talks.
Yeah.
And the night that we saw it, and there were no discount tickets for this, so we paid like $140 a piece. She called for lines three times, which Deirdre said is appalling. I was bored to death. It was just like a watered-down Joan Rivers gossip column.
Well, you know, everybody I've seen was one of the reviews I've seen was not that great either.
Everybody said she got snubbed. She got snubbed for not getting a Tony nomination.
No, she did not get snubbed. She did not deserve a Tony nomination.
See, that's interesting, because I thought, well, yeah, it kind of is.
No,
you know,
the,
but if she was
you know,
that bad
the
at
critics
it.
Just loved her because it's Bette Midler. And if she'd broken into song, I think it would have been better. But I don't think she deserved it.
Would have been good if she'd gotten up.
No, she says right at the beginning, she's waiting for a call from Barbara Streisand, who evidently was one of her big clients with whom she had a falling out.
Right.
So she's waiting for the phone to ring to see if it's Barbara Streisand. And she says, I'm not getting off this couch. And she doesn't. So I thought, you know, and I'm paying good money to see this.
Gosh,
no.
I'd like a role like that.
Yeah, me too. just
now I am surprised to hear that she actually called for lines during a performance, but like
this was a preview.
In preview, is that permissible? I guess it is.
It's kind of like supposedly it's where you iron out all. But you know, she was like four performances away from opening.
Yeah, you gotta know it by then.
And,
but we
and
don't even
I
do that just, in our theater.
Well, and I just had seen Holland Taylor go through two acts.
You die if you don't know the line.
Two acts of solo talking and acting and just amazing.
That's interesting. Yeah, I mean, we have a, here we're going to get to the community theater level here, but you know, it's for us, it's like 4 or 5 days out and you're off book and you're off of prompter. And if you make a mistake, make it better because it's your job now. So the last thing I would even think
about.
You can
hear this girl off stage, she turns and she'll say line and she'll give it to her. And then, she goes back into it. But
she's just going to sit there. She could have a book in her lap, for goodness sake.
Well, she could. Actually. And I was really excited to see it. And now I wish we had gone to see The Nance, which if I get back to New York, I'm going to go see that.
Yeah. You know We're just going to have to send you every once in a while so you can regale us.
Oh, yeah.
We can afford to do that.
Sure.
Yeah, right.
Theater Geeks is making all kinds
of
money.
Well, let me just tell you that. No, I know you're jesting, but I go once every couple of years, and when I go, I just see a play every time I can because I was not there long enough. I wanted to see the last 5 years. Oh. I wanted to see The Nance.
And what's this other one you were talking about? Mosh Nice.
Oh, it's Vasha and Sasha and Masha and Mike. I think it is. It's I don't know. It's a takeoff. It's a play on one of Shakespeare's works, and David Hyde Pierce is in it, and Sigourney Weaver's in it, and it won the Drama Desk Award for best play.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Oh well, I was in New York also. Name drop. Okay, we were at Joe Allen, which is one of my favorite places to go, and we met David Lindsay Hebert.
Oh, okay.
From Fuzzy Mirrors and The Rabbit Hole.
I was going to say Rabbit Hole is the one I always think of.
Yes, and nice little short, so kind of balding, chubby little guy, big smile, and you think, wow, how did he, you know, all these wonderful plays come out of this really nice little smiling guy.
Yeah.
I don't know why I was surprised, but he was very nice.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice. Cool. Yes.
Stories.
So.
All right. Well, that is the boy. This is the entertainment report. We've never really done this before.
No, well, this has been fun. We've all kind of been waiting to talk to Marcia since she's gotten back. Yeah, we haven't really gotten a chance to see her.
There you go.
Anyway, that wraps up. You see, you did 20 minutes without really trying.
I'm sorry.
That's
okay. I swore I would not do that.
That's fine. That was what we wanted. So we're going to wrap up this episode of Theater Geeks. Be sure to stop by the Theater Geeks website at theatergeeks.com. You can go to the store and buy all kinds of cool geek gear.
Great coffee mugs. Now that I have started drinking coffee.
Yes.
I love my Theater Geeks coffee mugs.
Let me tell you that I collect mugs, and Theater Geeks mugs is great.
You know what?
It's big funny. And
every
it's
time I buy
dirty.
One, I end up giving it to somebody, so I don't have one again.
You know, it's a great gift. It really is.
Well, I make sure that all my family has one so that they're never coffee or geekless.
There you go.
You can't afford to be geekless.
That's right. That's right. And there's some great hats on there. And as worn by Deirdre Lovejoy, but not in the play, no.
No.
But yes,
and there are other things that I just really don't feel like talking about today.
That's right.
Thank you, John.
My granddaughter is on the homepage again, modeling her pink Theater Geeks kids t-shirt. You can get those too.
I've seen
her.
Really?
So
they have pink Theater Geeks t-shirts.
Yes, right. For kids. But hers, you can tell if you look at the picture, she's actually sort of like almost outgrowing it. So I think Grandpa's got to come up with a new t-shirt. For her. So anyway, that wraps it up from here. And let's see, anything else that we need to mention? No. Hey, send us your thoughts for questions, ideas for future shows, things like that. Just send them to Dave, John, or Marcia at theatergeeks.com.
Right.
And we will be happy to answer you or put together a show. No, we have actually gotten a number of shows from listeners out
there.
That's
great.
So, anyway, that's all from us. I'm Dave Dufour.
I'm John Schaup.
I'm Marcia Fulmer. And we are Theater Geeks.
Music for Theater Geeks was provided by MusicAlley.com.